Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, is this our first Bull Nakano match?
It is. And Alundra Blaze, or, you know, however you're referring to her, that is a couple of firsts around here. So this is exciting stuff.
All right. I don't know much about Bull Nakano, but I'm sure you're going to educate us.
I got some history here. Yep.
I figured you would. So this will be fun to cover. You know, it's kind of this weird era where it's, you know, what's interesting about this is, you know, of course, women's wrestling, ironically, you know, we talk about, oh, the revolution and, oh, the give divas a chance, I think it was called, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of women's wrestling back in the 80s. Like, and these women could go. And then it kind of went away, and then they tried bringing it back during this era, and, you know, it didn't last long, but for a couple of years there, they had matches, and then they didn't. But what's funny about it is, in this era and back in the 80s, like, they presented it more as, hey, these are wrestlers, they just happen to be women, than they did later on. You know, it's like Attitude Era, bra, panties matches and stuff. But, like, these two women could go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's what's kind of funny about it is, yeah, you, the reason you had to give divas a chance is because you did it yourself. And, you know, I guess what's funny about it is, you know, they tried to position it like, oh, this is part of a women's movement and this ties in with other things in society. Well, you were doing it right in the 80s and even for part of the 90s. Like, you presented them as athletes, they had good matches. Like, the reason that they became lesser than is because of your own doing, not society. You were actually way ahead of the curve. Then you resorted back to everything. It's just, it's funny to think about, you know,
what could have been. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. All right. You ready for this one?
Yeah. Let's break it down.
All right. Let's get to the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
The infamous SummerSlam 1994. I mean,
right.
This show sucked.
Awful.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Chicago, huge crowd, hot crowd. But this was not the best era for the World Wrestling Federation. We start off Bam Bam Bigelow and IRS, both aligned with the Million Dollar Corporation, Ted DiBiase. They're going to defeat the Head Shrinkers by DQ in 7 minutes. And again, you know, you look back on this, Jeff, and it's like, explain to me again why this had to have a DQ finish to this match. You know, next up is the match we're going to cover for the WWF Women's Championship. Again, this proves my point. It was the women's champion. You were presented as athletes. Then it became the Divas Champions, and they're wrestling in bra and panties matches. And you're like, we got to give women a chance. And, you know, Stephanie bragging about how they're, you know, it's like such bullshit. Razor Ramon is going to defeat Diesel to win the Intercontinental Championship. Razor Ramon is accompanied by Walter Payton, a luminary in the Chicago community. Tatanka defeated Lex Luger. Now, Jeff, we watched this match with Tatanka. So, but I don't think we've covered it yet.
We haven't yet. Nope.
Yeah, it's on the list. We'll cover that once. The infamous Tatanka heel turn over Lex Luger. Jeff Jarrett's going to defeat Mabel in a 5-minute match. The only saving grace of this show, Bret Hart defeats Owen Hart to retain the WWF Championship inside a steel cage. 32-minute match, very highly regarded.
Yep.
I will tell you that I think it's a slightly overrated match, but
I take it. Got it.
And then the main event, Undertaker defeats The Undertaker.
Also slightly underrated. No, no, yeah, definitely not.
So this -1 stars. So the match we're going to cover 3.25 stars, 5 stars in the main event, but otherwise a lot of duds, man. So not a great show. Again, historically, there's been quite a few misses on SummerSlams, unfortunately, for the second biggest show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Storyline-wise, how did we get to these two women facing off?
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit. We'll start, with the championship itself. So it was actually early 1994 when they brought back the women's championship. It hadn't been around for about four years at this point. And then pushing Alundra Blaze at the time, they're going by Alundra Blaze to win the tournament at this point. And so the tournament itself was kind of really interesting. I did pull the kind of specifics on it. So it started November 29th, 1993. It went for it was a weekend long. It was all over the place too. It was a lot of dark matches.
Really?
You had the Medusa defeating and I don't know who a lot of these people are, but defeating Allison Royal. And that was in Memphis. And then you're in Massachusetts for two matches, both dark matches. And then you're in New York for another dark match, Heidi Lee Morgan defeating Rusty Thomas. And then 2 weeks later,
Rusty Thomas lost that match.
Yep. And then
I thought she won that match.
I know, it's unfortunate. I know. I always mix it up. I know. It's one of those things. Like we're not as strong.
Don't you have a Rusty Thompson t-shirt?
I do. Heidi Lee Morgan. Not Rusty Thompson. And so credit where credit. Like we will brush up on our late 1993 women's wrestling for next time. But yes, this is important. And then, Alundra Blaze actually beating Heidi Lee Morgan with a German suplex to win the championship again. This was really weird because it was taped on December 13th, didn't air until the day after Christmas in 1993. Now, it's almost unusual because Luna Vachon was involved as well too before this to kind of push the championship and kind of get into the tournament, which she plays a role in bringing Bull over from Japan to kind of challenge Blaze on some of this stuff. But at this time, they were trying to build, like you said, some credibility to the women's championship. Well, the tournament was all dark matches. So like, I don't even know how you would get this information, especially it's not at one venue. It's from Memphis to, Poughkeepsie and all these other places. And so, and plus it was taped. And so you're getting all these kind of weird angles of like when you're, we're going to push the title. I feel like it's a lot of lip service like we see nowadays. Like we're still, I don't know what the countdown clock is for the women's tag team tournament that we were supposed to get, but man, like we're never going to get that. Like that's just not going to be a thing. And so, who knows what's going to happen there. And so, but again, so that was kind of where Alundra Blaze was at this point. This is of course pre WCW, which we'll talk about that a little bit later too. And so, but, Luna Vachon using Bull to kind of challenge, Alundra at this point. So, Bull Nagano had been in All Japan Pro Wrestling. She was a wrestler. She started at 15 years old, from what I could find, which is just crazy. And so she winning AJW All Japan Pro Wrestling Junior Championship at 16 in 1984. She had changed her name at that point as well to Bull Nakano. So we have that. And then she won the AJW Championship, which she held for 3 years. And so just kind of crazy how she dominated in All Japan. And so bounced all over the place in Japan.
She worked that North Korea show we cover.
Yep. And so she was there. She spent some time in Mexico. Like she was all over the place. And so, kind of bringing her over again to kind of help with the storyline and stuff. So part of it too, of course, we know both names as they kind of go that Alundra going by debuting as Alundra Blaze, because we even see this nowadays, like didn't want her using the name Medusa because she had trademarked that. And so fucking smart woman in 1994 to have the insight to know I'm going to trademark my name. Smart on Vince to change it up too, but like good job on her to kind of handle it that way. And then, like I said, getting into this tournament and kind of dealing with that. And so after the tournament though, this is when she asked for WWF to bring in more women. And so you get this, actually it was mid 1994 where Bull joined the roster. I kind of looked it up. Of course, it's online, just the kind of history and stuff of this, that they were feuding in mid 1994. Their first match actually was August 1st of 1994. And so a lot of house shows, a lot of dark matches and things like that. And so they were doing that. And then, so it was literally less than 30 days later where they were having this SummerSlam match. And so they did not have a lot of time in the ring together. Before that, it had been all Luna Vachon who Alundra Blaze was kind of wrestling. And so 30 days later, I want somebody new. This is who you're getting. Let's get into this match.
I'm looking forward to covering this, man. Like, I want to see how these women work compared to, you know, now. And
yep,
you know,
I'm right there with you, man.
And you know, it's a short match, should be fun to cover. So yeah, let's
different time. It. Yeah, absolutely.
19-minute mark of SummerSlam 94. 19 minutes, SummerSlam 94, season 7, episode 1 on Peacock. Jeff, are you ready?
Yeah, let's check this one out, man.
All right, it's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right, so Alundra Blaze, she's out. Big baby face. She's carrying flowers. But Luna just threw flowers at her. She looks pissed off.
Alundra Blaze, again.
You know why she has fire on her outfit?
Why?
Because her last name's Blaze.
There you go.
Yep. Hey, do you know what Bull Nakano did after she retired from wrestling?
What?
She became a professional golfer.
Really?
Total shoot.
All right.
November 2004, Nakano played in the Futures Tour Qualifying Tournament in Florida. Ended in 250th place out of 251.
Hey.
Following year, 261st out of 271st.
Improvement.
She failed to qualify for the LPGA. She later qualified for the LPGA and joined the Futures Tour in January of 2006. So she actually played a little bit of professional golf.
Look at that. Good for her. Like Mr. Perfect, just all sports. Oh, boy. Whoa. Okay. So we're getting tossed all over the place here. If quick start here. Her kind of a block drop kick.
Uh-oh. She's going to go for it again.
Brutal with the hair here. Her getting tossed around the ring.
I hated Bull Nakano. I mean, like, she was a really good heel.
Yep. She really, something about the hair. Yep. Kind of stomping Alundra at this point, too. Yeah. But kind of working, really, you know, using her size to his advantage, if you would say. And yeah, really kind of get the upper hand on this one right now.
Yeah. Medusa had the look, man. I mean, she could work and good size and do a lot in the ring.
Which, shout out to her. We saw her, at least I saw her, I think, in the halls passing when we did StarCast. And we were kind of hanging out there, ran into her at the coffee bar, kind of hanging out, of course, got to start your day right. And so, yep, still super over with the fans. She's still really popular. Of course, we know we'll talk about what her most famous, infamous moment after this. But, you know, so we got kind of just a little rest hold here at this point.
Yeah, Bull Nakano, man, just a great heel.
A great Luna Vachon ringside as well, too.
I got a quick little topic for you. We're about to talk about something that Alundra Blaze did in WCW, but is it okay to, like, really like one promotion and hate the other one? Like, is it okay to say, hey, I love the WWF and I hate AEW and I'm cheering for them to go out of business and I'm just all in the WWF, or back in the day feeling that way about WCW or ECW over the others?
There's a line. I think if you're, and we've seen it on Twitter too, if you're willfully hoping that they fail, like, that is shitty. Can you prefer one over the other? Yeah, absolutely. I think part of it is, and we've seen it in our shoot job a little bit. Talk off air about it. But, you know, every once in a while, like, people just don't understand Like, you know, certain things can't work out a certain way. Like, you know, fans are going to be unhappy. Like, we are the most vocal, like, fan base out of, you know, anything that's on TV, over literally a scripted show, you know? And so but we're losing our minds over it. Like right now, like and that's the thing, like I prefer a WWE pay-per-view premium live, whatever. But I prefer the weekly, just Wednesday Rampage of Dynamite. And so like part of it is, I think, just accessibility. Like it's really easy for me to turn on a pay-per-view and know what's going on. It is still a hard sell for $50, even in 2022, of like what wrestling, like if I'm going to drop that, you know, what do, you know, is it worth it? Yeah, I just like, I think willfully being an asshole about it though, is you're just an, this is the old adage of like, if you're an asshole to the cashier, you're just an asshole. Like if you're an asshole about this for the sake of being an asshole, like that's just what you are. Like, yeah.
I agree with you. Cause I think people like try to like, they don't like, there's a couple different areas to it. Like it's totally okay to be like, hey, I'm AEW all day. Like I don't like the WWE. I don't watch it. I don't like that it's, you know, Disney version of pro wrestling. Cool. Yep. But why would you want it to fail? Right.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think drives me crazy too is when someone says, you know, oh, Blood and Guts was terrible. The All Japan pay-per-view or New Japan pay-per-view was awful. No, it wasn't. It's okay if you don't like want them to succeed, but like you also like be objective. It's like, it's people do it in politics too, right? Like their side's always right. Like look at an idea and maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, maybe your party's right, maybe they're wrong, but like think for yourself. Don't just say, oh, every match that the promotion I don't like produces is awful. No, it's not. Both promotions do great stuff. Both promotions make mistakes. It's totally cool to only watch one or be cheering for one. But at the same time, be intelligent enough to, you know when something's good, even on the product that you don't actually watch.
With how much content's out there in a 3-hour, this is a lot of
wrestling. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
really
absolutely.
Good match, by the way.
There we go. A lot of rest holds on this one. Yeah. Or kind of just like kind of submission hold, long submission holds. Yeah. And you and I've said it on the show before, with the 40 hours a week plus of wrestling that's on television, if you can't find something you like and you spend more time complaining about it, like that's on you. Like, though, do I watch, you and I both, like, we're not going to sit and watch 3 hours of Raw. We're going to catch highlights on like Hulu or kind of, you know, Twitter and stuff. Or, you know, I can always tell what the big things are because the next morning, like the dirt sheets only have like two or three things that might've happened. So it's like, okay, I know what I had to follow. But on the flip side, like you said, like, oh, the whole show sucked. Like there's going to be something good. Like that's why there's different people. Like, you don't have to like, you know, Carmella, which I don't, but like, I am a big fan of other people. Like, you know, so it's just, you know, if you can't find some kind of storyline, like, you know, right now,
if you're an AEW mark, yep, and you say the WWE sucks, you say, oh, Cody's terrible now.
Yeah.
Dude, you're just a moron.
Well,
like,
and
use your head, like think for yourself. Don't like be so blind that you can't even see that stuff.
Well, and okay, do I like Logan Paul? No. Like, but
no,
do
it's
I
not my thing.
But do I fully understand the business side of his multi-million followers on Brilliant. Social media and how popular he is with an 18 to 24 demographic? Yeah, I get it. Like, and he put out
why do you bring him in? Oh, because more people watch on Peacock. Oh, yep. What happens when more people watch on Peacock? Your next TV deal is worth $1 billion a year. Oh,
yep.
No. A lot of near pinfalls.
Lays off the road.
I'm okay. So, oof, big power. Big
trust me, whatever they're paying Logan Paul, they're going to make 10 times that on their next TV deal. Fox is going to love him being on SmackDown, or USA is going to love him being on Raw. Come on.
As of t- as of today, Logan Paul's Instagram followers, 23 million.
And if 1 million of them watch him wrestle, it's a huge win.
Cole McConnell missing. Yep, with the leg drop. Taking out Lil Sean now. Ass count there.
Yeah, all right. Look at that crowd.
Yeah.
Really good finish. Really
excited.
Good.
Yeah.
But she was over, man.
Story building there with Lil Sean too. Good job. Yep.
Good match, man.
That was exciting. Yeah. That. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's get into the aftermath.
Oh, it's time for the aftermath.
All right, man. Initial thoughts.
One little quick one. Yeah, I'm excited for it. That was good. I enjoyed it. I was sports entertained, as we say. So yeah, good stuff.
You picked a good one, man. That was awesome.
After a couple duds, I was happy with that one. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, really good stuff.
So what kind of happened on this one? So
eventually, that's better. But to my point, that match was better than any women's wrestling you saw for like multiple years during the Diva era.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
So it's like they had the ability to do it. And no, it wasn't Stephanie and McMahon that changed women's wrestling. It was them just going back to what they used to do. Present them the same way you present the men. It's not complicated.
Right.
Well, yeah, how do you do women's wrestling? Well, you have two people that are characters that have a difference they need to settle in the ring. It's not that complicated.
All right. So how do we get here? This is one. So Bull Nakano eventually defeated Alundra Blaze. It was actually November 20th, just a couple months after this one. I was actually in Tokyo at the Big Egg Wrestling Universe event. So Tom, I got a new one for you here, man. Okay. This is all of our fans. So the Big Egg Universe or Wrestling Universe. It was a wrestling show held by All Japan Women's Pro Wrestling. It was in the Tokyo Dome in Tokyo. Like I said, on November 20th, 1994, it's attended by over 32,000 fans. But it says here, some sources claim the event was over 42,000. And so in addition to female wrestlers, the event also featured matches with male wrestlers, midget wrestlers, female amateur wrestlers, female kickboxers, and female shoeboxers. The event lasted 10 hours, was promoted as the biggest card in the history of women's wrestling. It featured 23 matches of various styles. The opening ceremony of the event featured a 60-piece band that accompanied a parade of wrestlers that each carried a flag representing a different wrestling promotion. I am definitely going to look up Big Egg Wrestling Universe. Like this Alundra Blaze Bull Nakano match was the main event. And there was like a bunch of 2-minute matches, but a 10-hour, like this thing looks like it was a spectacle. So Bull Nakano, though, holding the title for about 5 months, she ended up losing it back to Alundra Blaze on April 3rd of 1995. It was an episode of Raw ending her reign at 134 days. The WWF had planned on bringing in Bertha Faye to feud with Bull Nakano, but Nakano actually ended up getting fired from the company. So, Alundra Blaze on this one, so like I said, she returned to the ring August 1995. She actually lost the champion slip to Faye at SummerSlam of that year. And so, 2 months later, she won the title a third time, beating her October of 1995. And so, at this point, this is where it gets a little weird, of course. December, you know, who knows? It was financial issues that she was stripped of the title.
Meet participants where they are.
Her jump to World Wrestling, WCW World Championship Wrestling. And so the title, though, remained vacant until 1998. So for a couple of years. So, as we all know, though, there was the Monday Nitro where she showed up, her getting blacklisted from WWF, all these different things where she dumped the WWF Women's Championship belt into a trash can. And so, she has since said, showed up, and that was the first time we had seen her in Medusa and things like that. And so, she has since regretted that, said that she would not have done it. In the quote I said, had Bischoff not coerced her, who knows? Like, you know, it was a different time. Like, you know what? If it was me, like, I get it. I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, it was a different time. Screw it. And
the self-navigation.
I got over shit because I did it. So, yeah. Just funny. So, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. So just a lot happening. Both these, you know, go down in history. That's really what it boiled down to. So, the reviews on this one, PWI was not doing women's rankings at this time, but Alundra Blaze pinned Bull Nakano to retain the WWF Women's title at 8:10. Before the match began, a flower girl handed Nakano and Blaze flowers. Nakano's flowers at Blaze. Nakano looked powerful, but not spectacular. It was better than their TV match due to sheer duration, but it won't entirely change the way women's wrestling is perceived. The Torch gave it 2 stars. Observer newsletter on this one.
That's what he said was that match wouldn't change the perception of women's wrestling.
Yes.
I mean, look, and I'm not like saying this to like, oh yeah. Well, like honest to God, like that was as good as most of the other action on that show. Like that was a good match. That was a good 6-man match.
Yep.
Like, well, like was Jeff Jarrett and Mabel that much better? Like, I thought that was pretty good. Like, I don't know. They were not a liability in the ring. I think you need character development. You need to build a roster. It's not easy, but I thought they did a pretty nice job, to be honest, man.
Well, Meltzer kind of agreed with you on this one. So the Alundra Blaze retained her women's title in something of an upset, pinning Bull Nakano with a German suplex. This was similar to an All Japan women's preliminary match in that they worked fast and did some good maneuvers, but didn't do a lot of main eventer special spots and were kind of rushed. Actually, the only negative thing about this match was they didn't give the two enough time. Because given the lack of television hype, Nakano in the match itself was surprisingly over 3.25 stars.
Oh, okay.
So you guys kind of lined up on that one. So he gave it 3.25. The Torch gave it 2. Tom, where are you sitting on this one?
So in terms of a payoff score, I'll give it a 6. I mean, it wasn't a great match. Obviously not a great storyline. Obviously not a great time for, women's wrestling in general, but I thought it was solid. It was short enough. I mean, it was 15 minutes long. But I mean, that's part of this that we rank these things, Jeff, is like sometimes like a really good, like 8-minute match, like that's better than, a 20-minute match. So sometimes less is more. And it's like, hey, that was a good spot on the card. I got no issues with it. I thought they did well. You could tell the crowd was, popped pretty hard at the end. So it was kind of like an upset. And I think they like had led you to believe that, Bull Nakano was going to win. So I personally really enjoyed it. Pleasantly surprised, happy with it. 6. What about you?
I'm actually at a 6.5. And so again, I'm with you on that. It wasn't a bad match. There was nothing bad about it. I do agree with Meltzer on this one, which we don't always do that around here, but like needed a little bit more time, maybe even a couple more minutes, it did kind of fall in a weird spot on the card as well too. Even when I was like, where the hell is this match? Or you're like 19 minutes. I was like, oh shit. Like, I'm like, it was the second match. Maybe who knows if it would have done better. At least it wasn't a bathroom match. And so, if for women's wrestling at this point, and so, yeah, I thought like just overall, like there wasn't anything I disliked. Like it was all good. The storyline itself kind of, there was not a lot of in-depth storylines is the best way to put it, like at this time for the women. And so even getting this and kind of, bringing in somebody new and letting them have some matches, like, yeah, I could see it. Like this is very much you bring in the outsider for them to like potentially upset the champ, and then they don't win, which we see that all the time nowadays. And so, yeah, from from a, just a storytelling standpoint, it makes some sense too. So sports entertain. That's what it's all about around here.
But it goes to show you that you can't have a division unless you have enough talent there. So, you know, she needed new opponents. They needed to mix it up. I mean, it's just tough. Like, that's the problem with like the brand split now in women's wrestling is it's like,
yep.
I mean, on Raw and SmackDown, what are we really talking? Like, each division has 8 women in it.
Maybe.
Give or take.
Hey, that might be too many. And especially you start talking tag teams, you've got even less than that. Yep.
And I mean, AEW has the same issue, right? I mean, there's still, it's just like, I mean, a good division probably has, you know, 20 plus with a primary and a secondary title.
Yep. And, but then you start getting into the arguments of too many titles, and that's already a thing too. So it's like, where do you draw the line? Yeah.
Well, with AEW, I've lost track of how many titles there are because you have the Ring of Honor stuff. Some of these guys have AAA,
New
Japan titles. And I mean, I have no idea. I mean, everyone's got a damn title and it means nothing.
Yep. Absolutely. It's too hard to follow anymore. But
it is. I mean, for those of us that don't, you know, watch every second of every show, yeah, it is too hard to follow. And it just gets frustrating. You feel like you don't even know what the hell's going on. So it's tough to care.
You know, eventually you're going to have FTR with 4 belts if they don't already, as of when we're recording this, and all kinds of crazy shit. And so, yeah, we'll just have to see what happens here. But yeah, it's still, hey, we're not going to turn away. You know, we're going to keep watching as we do, you know, and we're going to keep hoping that everybody comes back to watch the payoff or listen to the payoff as well, too. Of course, don't forget as well, our show sponsor, like helping us bring it this show to you every week as we do every Monday. Manscaped.com. Check out their store. Just everything they got in there. It's Manscaped 20. It's Manscaped. Payoff 20. Payoff 20. 20% off. Free shipping. Anything in the store. Load it in your cart and use that code. It's Payoff 20. Payoff 20 for free shipping. 20% off at Manscaped.com.
Good stuff, man. Fun episode.
Absolutely.
I get to send them home happy, right?
This is where you do that, man. Hey, this was a fun one. Let's send them home happy.
All right. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.